Brian McLean on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. You're listening to today's News Talk. Join us on the web, tntradio.live. We are live 24/7 over here at today's News Talk, so be sure and check it out. Check it out on your computer, your laptop, whatever. The full browser experience is wonderful, and that mobile app experience is great, too. Let's see. I've been listening to so much TNT. I've been just taking in podcasts like crazy over here. Because of course, I run a podcasting website called alternatecurrentradio.com. So not only am I producing and hosting shows over there, curating shows for other podcasters over there, running exclusives over there, and listening to shows that come out weekly over there at Alternate Current Radio, but I'm also really enjoying listening to TNT. Been enjoying the Joseph Arthur show, the Technicolor Dream, of course, with my colleague Ruckus, who joins him in that third hour of that show regularly now, and the Mike Ryan show. I stayed up too late last night listening to the Mike Ryan show, so big shout out to Mike. Wow, what a clip he played last night of a father making a phone call looking for some accountability when it comes to conformed consent after his child was diagnosed with myocarditis after taking a Pfizer shot. I'm not sure, but really powerful clip Mike played last night. Big shout out to the Mike Ryan show, of course, the Patrick Henningsen show, and my gosh, all of the great shows over here. I'd just be talking all day if I was to go through all the great shows like Germ Warfare, Shannon Joy, and on and on and on. It's great. It's great being here with you on TNT. And our next guest is going to talk to us. We're going to talk about this Mar-a-Lago raid. Oh, we're not supposed to call it a raid. It's the execution of a search warrant. Meh. Okay, well, who cares? If someone busts your door down with a warrant, it feels like a raid. I'm pretty sure it feels like a raid to anyone who's ever experienced it. Let's take a news clip.
We've been witness to all of this in the last 4 years. We know that there was this constant, upset and pushback all along the way. These lies about him colluding with the Russians when it was all made up by his political opponent, Hillary Clinton. And now today he's facing questioning in a closed door deposition for the New York Attorney General Letitia James investigation. She's investigating the Trump family business's practices. The former president posted about the deposition on Truth Social. Earlier this morning, he said, my great company and myself are being attacked by all sides, A.G. Whitaker. I guess we've got Lara Trump with us this morning. And Lara, my question is they.
All right, we'll stop that one right there. At TNT Radio, we never go home. We're committed to bringing you our take on the biggest topics of our times. We broadcast 24/7 online globally. No matter what, we got you covered here at TNT Radio.
As it happens.
I feel more informed when I listen.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. It's time to welcome our next guest to the program here. His name is Dan Martinez. Dan, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, I want to thank you for taking the time to join me here on the show today at today's News Talk. So you are a constitutional lawyer. Do I have that right?
Yeah, I did criminal defense for the past 12 years.
Okay, great, great. And you're also running for a congressional seat, right?
Yes, I'm the Republican candidate in a two-person race against 86-year-old Grace Napolitano, who's been in the seat for roughly 26 years. 26 years. She was born 6 years before World War II, before penicillin. You can just imagine how up to date she is with artificial intelligence, cryptocurrency, different technologies in the data space race, the information warfare going on with China. I imagine she's just doesn't have any comprehension of any of this.
Yeah, I'm looking at her bio here, and yeah, it's not that I'm not getting a sense of representation from looking at this person so far. So you're the 32nd congressional district then, is that right?
No, actually, if you're looking at her website, it hasn't been updated since 2018. So that's the old district. It was redistricted into the 31. Yeah, it's comical. She's completely absent. If it wasn't for proxy voting, I mean, look, I don't hate the lady, right? She's 86. Like, there's only so much. It's California. If you have to, it's a 6-hour air flight if you're doing nonstop twice a week. It's a harsh job, and she should be spending more time with her grandchildren.
Yeah, it's I've said this before about some of our politicians. If I was to take, you know, my 84-year-old grandmother and say, okay, grandma, you've been elected and we now need you to be on airplanes all the time. We need you to read these scripts all the time. We need you to be involved in this highly contentious power politic environment. We need you to promote woke culture. We need you to promote Soros-backed DAs. We need you to do all this stuff. To me, Dan, that sounds like something that might be referred to as elder abuse.
No, it does often feel that way, right? It seems that for an analogy, right? In the last years of Michael Jackson's life, right? He was on some crazy 150 city tour, and he had an entourage of dozens of people who've been making their entire lives live like life's work off of this guy. So they worked him to death, literally, right? Just ignoring the addiction and all that element to it, right? Like, there is an element of that that's happening with the gerontocracy. They're not autonomous actors that are controlling the destiny that are advocating on behalf of the people that they're supposed to represent. They're rubber stamps, and we don't really know who's pulling the strings behind them, right? Like, this is not conspiratorial, right? This is just what would happen to anybody who's in that situation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I saw that's actually a really great analogy there. I could think of another one. I saw recently, well, maybe earlier this year, or late last year, last fall, maybe Britney Spears was all over the news, right? They had this whole hashtag free Britney thing, the conservatorship going on, and she wants to get pregnant, but she's under like medical tyranny and under all these conservatorships. And one of the things that she said actually fits right in with what you were talking about there with Michael Jackson. She was talking about how many people the Britney Spears machine actually supports. And I had the thought, you know, this is actually what we're looking at here with, you know, one person is sort of a personality industrial complex or a celebrity industrial complex that builds up around a single personality. And it's like there are, you know, hundreds, maybe thousands of people that earn their living around her. So it's like, you know, her desire to live her life, to have another child, to be in charge of her money and all that stuff. It has to take a back seat to all of this whole complex that's built up around that personality. And I guess to your point, the same thing happens with like a Grace Napolitano. Because you're dealing with someone that's not just a person. It's not just a person that's being the representative for a district. You've got, a decades-long little complex that's built up around them with tons and tons of people.
Exactly. And that's the group of people that's actually being represented, right? Because you're it's difficult to maintain relationships beyond like 150 people closely. And if the 150 people that you keep in contact are from that group, and you don't spend time reaching out to the 150 different groups of people, right? Like the different priorities. And when I say priorities, if you go deep into like an abortion issue, right? Like there's 750,000 people that live in the district. It's pretty safely probably 250,000 in each camp, like that would consider this some pro-life and pro-choice, right? Like you would hope that a representative could maintain a relationship with both of those two groups. And if there's different leaders in those groups, to be able to coordinate them to a point where they can sit down and have a conversation, right? We don't even aim in this direction anymore of what politicians and representatives, their core function in life actually is. And I would say part of that is because we've got people like Grace who, and look, in a way, it's hard to blame Grace specifically because this is the standard that we've accepted for all of our politicians. But she's emblematic of that. And it's almost like once you get to a certain stage in your career, your gift in retirement is to sit in one of these chairs when those chairs are there for a really important reason. And it's so the public can get all of this angst out through a representative who's advocating their positions, even if their positions are stupid, to be honest, right? Like AOC should have as much floor time to be able to espouse on any one of her positions that she wants, right? If she wants to ground all air travel by 2030, because she thinks that's going to improve the world, right? Let her have the floor to make that case, right? I'm sure there's 100 other people in the room that would jump up to take the floor on the other side of that case, right? But we don't even have the discussion because we have a system where the speaker, who's by definition one of the two parties, the gerontocracy, right? Because you have to be there for 20 years to rise into the system, right? They don't allow the floor. They don't structure the rules to allow those kind of debates to happen. And then you created this system where the only thing representatives are empowered to do is snipe each other through Twitter and get into this like theatrical performance that doesn't actually fix anything. And so all of that has to go.
Right, right. And, you know, yeah. I would think in a sane society that partisanship would have way less sway than common sense platforms and relatable age groups. You know, like why regardless of your red or blue tie or dress, why wouldn't you want someone culturally relevant, someone who understands the current landscape, someone who knows that their their website needs to be updated, for example, to reflect the actual district that they represent. You know, it just seems so sad to me, Dan, that, you know, somebody would pick Grace Napolitano over you on the card simply because of the D instead of the R. There's just seems like there's a lot more potential for actual representation, even if they're not, you know, registered dyed-in-the-wool Republican. I mean, do you feel like you're getting any of that that hashtag walk away crowd moving over to support you, or is it still just a very like this is the blue incumbent and you know everybody on the Democrat card is going to just pick that person because of that reason?
Okay, so let me answer that question on a couple different levels, right? So if you can pull up my website, which is danmartinezforcongress.com, the number four, right? And you look at my logo, it's a Venn diagram that has a red circle and a blue circle, and where the circles overlap, there's an American flag in the middle, right? Because right. That one of the problems I have with the whole tribal warfare, the media incentive to get you on teams and just snipe at the other side, right, is that's not how the world actually works, right? Like if you imagine like a yin yang ball, right? Like the world is a balance of extremes. Like you have a left side of your brain and a right side of your brain, a logical side and an emotional side. You have male energy. There's male energy in the world. There's female energy in the world, right? There's conflict between those extremes. There always are, and there always has been. Right? But those extremes are what make life beautiful, right?
Right.
So there's no such thing as a conservative solution to a problem. Right? Like take the situation with school shootings, right? It's atrocious that there's school shootings, right? That's we should all be able to agree on that. But it saddens me, actually, that in response to the school shootings, when there's this wound in the society, right, that they rub salt in it by providing these nonsense, quote unquote, solutions from the blue side or from the red side that have no underlying relation to the problem at hand. Right. So the blue side solution is, well, let's raise the gun age from 18 to 21. Right. And the red side solution is something to the effect of let's put TSA level security at the in the schools so we can make them more prison like than they already are, which our education system is a disaster, and that's not anything that should be remotely considered as an acceptable alternative. But there were these two psychologists, like Politico wrote an article about this, and the two psychologists said, like, if you actually want to stop school shootings, we've studied school shooters for the past 50 years, all of them, and there's a profile, it's remarkably consistent. They're almost all white. They're all male. And they come from homes that has unspeakable violence and abuse and neglect, starting from when they were super young age. Super young age part's relevant because you can identify the personality type by the time they're 10 years old. And they're when they're at school, they're failing socially. They don't play sports. They're failing academically. They have no pathway to success, right? They're not, they don't have friends. They don't have partners as they get older, right? They're resentful of the environment that they're forced to go to, right? That they're failing in. And then at a certain point, they decide to commit suicide. And then when they decide to commit suicide, they want to do as much damage to the people that they believe wronged them, the system that they believe wronged, right? And so I think the American public is mature enough to have a discussion about this topic on that level of abstraction, where you speak to actual experts who seem to have an actual understanding of the problem. Because there's also, if you understand it that way, there's a solution. You just identify those students early on when they're 10 years old and remove them from the environment completely because they're failing at it, and give them individualized attention, right? Those kids probably, say, play video games 12 hours a day, right? They could be trained to do coding, to enter video game tournaments. You can be a drone pilot in the military that's functionally the equivalent of playing a video game. There's ways that you can actually fix these problems if you have an open mind. But again, if you were born 6 years before World War II, what are the chances you're going to come up with a creative new solution to any of our problems in the next 3 to 6 months?
Yeah, right. What are the chances when you're 84 years old and you're being dragged around the United States to do these junkets and stuff? What are the chances you're actually listening to cutting edge psychologists who are talking about real solutions here? We're going to pick up this thread on the other side of a quick break here at today's News Talk.
Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
Here's a question. Like, you could look at something like polar bears, and they're clearly, their numbers are up. There's more than they've ever counted. The U.S. Geological Survey says they're probably at or near historic population highs, more than they've ever counted.
The models predicted that the Arctic was going to be ice-free. Remember, there was not going to be any ice up at the Arctic Circle anymore. They all predicted that. Did it happen? No. Now ice is bigger than it ever was. And then they have another model, a polar bear model, if you like, downstream of this climate model, which uses the climate model. The polar bear model uses the climate model and then projects the number of polar bears that there's going to be. And you, of course, everybody remembers, they said they were going to diminish and probably die off. They weren't, because there was not going to be any Arctic sea ice. There was not going to be any polar bears. And both turned out to be whoppingly false.
The Mark Morano Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
This is today's News Talk and the voice of freedom, TNT Radio.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. I'm joined by Dan Martinez. He is a lawyer. He is a congressional candidate, and he knows what's going on. You know, go to his website, Dan Martinez for Congress, the number four, the digit four, danmartinezforcongress.com. And you'll see that he has, he's got a lot of good ideas when it comes to immigration reform, homelessness, national security, veterans support. Supporting our veterans is so important. Government reform, environmental policy. You know, Dan is the kind of guy that I can relate to when it comes to politicians. And I got to thank TNT for introducing me to Dan, because I didn't know people like you existed, Dan. I was getting a little bit harsh on the politicians, but it's wonderful to have you on the show. I really appreciate your views here, everything you're saying. This is a great example that you're talking about here when it comes to this whole partisanship. You know, obviously you're registered as a Republican, but you know, you're pointing out here the kind of thing that people like me and our listeners want to hear. Like, maybe the blue partisan line is not the right way to go when it comes to figuring out how to work with violence in schools. Maybe the red party line is also not the way to go. Maybe we need more innovative looks into what's happening here. And I like the solutions that you've laid out there. So, yeah, I just want to let you know how much I appreciate you and encourage our listeners to go to your website, especially our California listeners, get on over there and support Dan. So, Dan, what I played before you came on, I played that clip there with the whole Mar-a-Lago raid thing happening there. What are your thoughts on this? I'm interested to hear your perspective as a lawyer and someone involved with politics.
Okay, so being a self-interested politician, right, I am going to weave the questions into myself, but I'm also going to answer your questions, right? So I'm a first-generation U.S. citizen, right? My parents left Chile during the dictatorship. They moved here legally in the late 70s. And I grew up here. I was born here, and I grew up here in the States. Like, but I grew up in a Spanish-speaking home. Like, there's video of me speaking Spanish before I spoke English. And I speak fluent Spanish today. But my parents came here because of a dictatorship, right? So, like, I grew up with a healthy appreciation about how there's certain things that happen in other countries that would never happen here, right? Authoritarian tendencies, like arresting political opponents, abusing law enforcement, surveillance authority against domestic citizens, right? Even the situation that's going on in Guantanamo Bay, like holding human beings in a box without a lawyer, without being told of what their charges are. Without a process by which you can, I mean, you have due process, it just looks poorly on the person who's detaining them, right? It shows that the person who's detaining them doesn't have any respect for human life. So I mean, this is the background that I was born into, that I'm putting in all of this in context of, right? And so I was a libertarian for many years after I lost faith in both parties, lost faith in congressional representation of both parties. And then, but like, if you go into the history of the FBI, right? If you go back to the McCarthy era, if you go back to the dossiers that Hoover was keeping on JFK, keeping on MLK, right? The suicide letter that the FBI drafted to Martin Luther King, encouraging him to kill himself, and including a tape of all the recordings of his alleged extramarital affairs. And then delivering it to his wife, right? My skepticism of the FBI is really high, right? And the problem with my background, right, and we come from a country that, or your family comes from countries that has dictatorships, right? It's a really common tactic to abuse law enforcement and investigatory authority on your political enemies, right? In Russia right now, the main opposition, the main credible democratic opposition to Putin is Navalny. And when his movement started to catch fire, the law enforcement and investigatory agencies looked for a process crime, found one, and now Navalny is going to watch the next quote-unquote democratic election from prison, right? And it seems like there's a movement on the left here in the States, right? Some subsection of the Democratic Party, I don't want to say it's the majority, right? Because I think that the anti-war civil libertarians and Democratic Party are going to balk at this. But there's a tradition. This has never happened before, and this is a tradition. This is not a Rubicon you want to cross without thinking deliberately about what the potential consequences of this could actually be.
Yeah, and I was saying earlier in the program, it feels really disingenuous. Like, if we had seen the FBI go to, I don't know, say Hillary Clinton's house when it was discovered that she had secret servers on the CipherNet, I believe, or some sort of top secret network at her home and in her businesses. And then there was all this this shenanigans with the emails, and she deleted tens of thousands of emails, had her team delete all this information off of these servers. I mean, to me, that one was pretty egregious even at the time, Dan, because, you know, I used to do cybersecurity. Cybersecurity was a thing in my career days. And I know exactly how difficult it is and how serious it is to set up secure networks, to run secure networks, to have security managers involved with that, to have clearance programs, to have physical security, all these things. Like, I still can barely wrap my head around the fact that that Hillary Clinton had access to these networks, which, you know, normal people, anyone that's worked in the military industrial complex or a federal job will know, especially if they had to be on those networks. They're in special network operating centers. They have special accreditation programs associated with them. They take lots of people to establish and set up. So to me, like, the whole Hillary thing with those emails and those servers was largely misreported, because they almost framed it as though, like, this was just something that she set up or had someone set up for her. And there's really no methodology or vehicle to do that in cybersecurity, in government, with regards to classified servers and the network, which they all attach to. Like, in my mind, as a cybersecurity professional, there's no way that she could have done that without a large contingent of government IT people, security officers, and things like that. Like, there should have been a whole group of people that helped her set that up, you know, and that's just sort of like how that even happened should be considered criminal. And then that doesn't even take into account what was going on those servers.
Okay, but let me chime into this, right? Because this is where my entry into the Republican Party is still from the libertarian group, right? So the it disturbs me greatly that the FBI, that in 2016 the FBI had acted, like, during the primaries, had active investigations on Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, and Bernie Sanders' wife at the same time, right? So I want to zoom out from each one of those individual cases, right? And let's just look at this like we're historians coming back at this 100 years later, right? Why does the FBI have investigations into one of the three people that's going to be the next president of the United States, and all of them? Is this a remotely acceptable situation?
Mm-hmm.
Can we have a discussion? Can we have a discussion about this? Right. Maybe if the crimes are process crimes, right, like are being abused in Russia right now, like, just for context, and they're not crimes involving people, right? Like, if you stab somebody or you rape somebody, right, then you should be criminally prosecuted for those, even if you're upholding federal law, right? But the risk of abuse of process crimes is something that should be, and we should have the same rule that applies to Hillary Clinton, that applies to Bernie Sanders, and applies to Donald Trump. And it shouldn't, and it should be something that this power, right, to investigate all three of those has to be something that's directly exercised by the President of the United States, authorizing it through their FBI director, authorizing it through their DOJ director, right? You need the political branches to be in control of the exercise of this power. You can't have, in our constitutional system, right? Like, you have the three subordinate, like the tripartite head of the pyramid, right? The executive, the legislative, and the judicial. And the FBI and the CIA, and I mean, the CIA is a little bit more complicated because there's an Article II argument for that in time of war. But the FBI in particular is clearly created by federal law. And anytime that subordinate agency messes with the constitutional process, the constitutional political process should be something that is frowned upon. Or let me put it this way. They should have a really high bar to clear, and they should be absolutely transparent with the political process from the beginning.
Yeah, that makes way more sense. That makes way more sense. We'll pick up on that on the other side of a quick break here with today's news talk.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Russia has summoned an emergency session of the UN Security Council to discuss the situation at Ukraine's Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, which has been the subject of regular shelling attacks. China has announced an end to the unprecedented military exercises around Taiwan, which were launched following the controversial visit by U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to Taipei. The U.S. had a better-than-expected report for July. Zero inflation.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk. TNT Radio. TNT Radio.
All right, welcome back. I'm joined by Dan Martinez, who's running for Congress. Look at his logo, folks. Look at it. It's great. He's got that Venn diagram there. It's got a red circle. It's got a blue circle. And what do you see in that intersecting area right in the middle there? The American flag. A proper, real American flag. No weird blue line on it. No Punisher skull. None of that stuff, right? Just that area right there in the middle. And I think that is the audience that we want. That's the audience that I want, the ones that aren't so dyed in the wool with the power politics. And we're discussing what's going on with the FBI here. Why does the FBI have active investigations on everyone who might be president? What is the deal with process crimes, constitutional political processes? I agree with you, Dan. They should have a high bar and they should be clear and transparent. And if the FBI is going to be going after anyone, they should be going after all of these people and be transparent about it, not be hiding things from us. I mean, so what do you think's happening with the Trump residence raid here? They want us to not call it a raid. They seem to have a problem with people saying it's a raid. Oh, it's the execution of a search warrant. I don't really care. I don't really care about the semantics personally as just a sandwich eating American. But what's going on with the Trump resident? Is it raid? Is it being transparent at all? Do we know anything about it, or are we just looking for documents? We don't know what they are, but they're just looking for documents.
I would say the transparency level right now is zero, right? So we're the problem is we're trying to figure out what's happening without having access to any of the underlying information. So there's an entire range of potential options that it could be. Disturbingly, it involves classification, right? So it's going to be behind closed doors, right? So there's going to be minimal transparency. And with the I don't know how close you were following the Crossfire Hurricane Mueller investigation, the IG reports that found the misconduct, the Klein Smith, I believe, was the individual who altered the email from the CIA. Keep his law license at the law license in the process. So it's very difficult to analyze it in this context because when you see the Roger Stone raid, right? This is not the way that white collar crime is prosecuted. There's a difference in the prosecutorial discretion, in the law enforcement discretionary tactics that are being used. So there, from what you're looking at, there should be the highest bar of evidence, right? Like, let me give you an example, right? If what they were recovering was child pornography, right, that was being filmed in Mar-a-Lago, nobody would actually have a problem with the amount of force that was being used, right? Like, I imagine that people would be reasonable about this. Right. But there's not even a discussion of that caliber of crime. Right. We're completely on the other side of the spectrum. Right. It's like, according to what's publicly available, it's a dispute over boxes of information that could potentially be declassified that were taken by an individual that, without saying anything, could just pick up classified documents and read them and take them with them wherever they went. And historically, presidents have retained top secret clearance and get daily security briefings. So if that's all they have, then it seems that this may be one of the biggest political FBI blunders in recent memory, and that's saying quite a bit. But we need to know more, right? I think the dream amongst the crowd that wants the FBI to get their comeuppance, right, is that goes back to the declassification order that Trump issued in the the waning months of the presidency to declassify everything related to Crossfire Hurricane. But the DOJ and the FBI slow played it. They never ended up releasing it. So I think their dream scenario is that that's what these classified records actually hold. And that would make for quite an entertaining court case.
Yeah.
But that's not a prediction. That's just a possibility.
Right. So it could be, you're right, it's difficult to analyze considering the lack of context that we've been given. So
yeah, I mean, then the flip side of it could have just been like say things like that letter from Kim Jong-un, like some mementos that he took along the way that he thought that he was entitled to put in his office and his library or something like that, right? Like if it's something stupid like that, also, again, that's not something that you send in the FBI for, right? That's something that you guys negotiate through the lawyers that work in the different departments and on your different teams, right? This is an unnecessary escalation for if it's for a political purpose, right? One of my friends actually on the Democratic side reached out to me this morning because he knows that I routinely ridicule like establishment Democrats for pursuing like a Pied Piper strategy where they meddle in the where they spend money propping up one of the candidates in the Republican primary. And he was curious of whether the Democrats were smart enough to try to execute this as a strategy to elevate Trump over DeSantis, right? And I don't normally give them that level of political strategic competence. Like when you listen to the way that Kamala Harris talks about the sanctions in Russia, it's incredible. Like when she talks about Russia, I mean, the way she described it, that the United States is like the adult and Russia is like the child. And sanctions are like us taking away their toy when they don't do what we tell them to do. And when you hear something like that, it really makes you like the comedian side of me laughs because that's how you deal with like deep sadness, right? But there's also part of me that's horrified that this person is speaking on behalf of the United States in conflict, right? They sent her to Munich Security Conference right before the conflict began in Ukraine. Has anybody articulated a pathway by which this conflict is going to end over the near term or 20 years from now or 50 years from now? So no. I was just reading an article this morning about how Zelensky was lobbying the EU to close off travel access for all Russians, right? To make it so Russian tourists can't travel through Russia, right? This illiberal movement, right, to shut down, to make it so individuals can't travel between countries, to make it difficult for people to get on airplanes, difficult for people to see each other. I mean, these are dangerous trends that we're just accepting without even having a public discussion about whether they're good ideas.
Right, right. It's like there's a given there. There's a given that everybody supports this, and that is so not the truth. It's amazing.
Yeah, and also sometimes it's bonkers what the people are saying too, right? It's look, I don't have kids, right? But I love all my friends' kids, right? Like I love being their uncle, like and teaching them stuff when I have them, right? So I go around the world, I learn the stuff, and then I teach it to them, right? Like that's the cycle of life, right? And then you see these schools like that spend all of this time on this like I remember after the 2 years of lockdowns in the schools. The LA County school system finally opened again, but they were requiring everybody to bring in a PCR test, right? So when I was driving to work that morning, I saw schools that had, it was like 9:30, 10, and they still had 2 hours of lines of kids waiting outside the door because they had to bring in this test, right? And nobody's learning anything during any of this, right? They just made a giant TSA line where you complied with this arbitrary thing. And tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of educational hours were wasted. I mean, we can get in a different discussion about how well they're allocating those hours when they have them, right, in an optimal situation, because a lot of work needs to be done in our educational curricula as well. But look, if we don't, one of the patterns that I've recognized that's a cultural pattern is everybody needs to stay in their lane. And when I mean everybody, I mean governmental institutions, media institutions like Disney, like the institutions of government, the executive needs to stay in their lane, right? The Supreme Court needs to stay in their lane. The FBI needs to stay in their lane. Like, the domain of politics is not the domain of the FBI. The domain of the FBI is to focus on crimes where human beings are going to be the victims of those crimes, like serial killers, rapists, terrorists. That's the focus of what their domain is. And like, the education system is the exact same way. Like, there's core curricula, and then there's ideology. Right? I went to a Christian school in the district, public Christian school. I went to Catholic high school in the district. In the schools that I went to, there was clearly delineated, this is core academic curricula based off of classical liberal education from Western civilization. And then this is theological, philosophical add-on, right? Public school systems are exactly the same way. They have core curricula, and then they have ideological component, cultural component, right? If you're going to have a school dance, what music are you going to have at the school dance? How low are you going to allow the skirts, or how high are you going to allow the skirts to be, right? Those are cultural determinations that you make. So, but there should be a clear delineation that certain classes are core curricula, and everybody needs to do those and do those well. And then people should be able to opt into which theological or ideological, philosophical worldview they'd like to have. I don't get a lot of pushback from people when we have these conversations, like normal people have conversations.
Right. Because it makes sense. That's why these institutions are there. That was what the original intention was. And that's how it would work in a somewhat sane society. We got to take one more quick station break here. We're listening to today's news talk, everybody. We'll be right back.
The midterms, and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
In a shocking abuse of its substantial police power, FBI agents last night raided Mar-a-Lago, the Palm Beach estate and primary residence of President Donald J. Trump, looking for 15 boxes of documents that the president had brought with him from the White House in January 2021. These documents are not anything new. They've been the subject of negotiations between the Trump team and the DOJ for a year and a half now. So why was the warrant executed yesterday? Indeed, why was the warrant executed at all? It turns out that Attorney General Merrick Garland and FBI Director Christopher Wray were briefed before the raid was conducted. This has Americans of all political stripes outraged. If they can do it to a former president, they can do it to us. Maybe that's what the 87,000 new IRS agents are for. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
On air and on the app.
I listen on the app.
Stay up to date around the clock.
I listen, therefore I know.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, you're listening to the Brian McLean Show here on Today's News Talk, and I'm joined by Dan Martinez. He is a congressional candidate and a lawyer. He's got a lot of experience, very common sense oriented guy here. So, Dan, let me play you this clip here and get your response.
Dave James, that if President Trump were considering or questioning whether or not to run, he just got his answer the other day with this raid. He, you know, because if this is where we are in this country, things have got to change.
Well, if you want to think about politicization, which this does seem to be a political motivation, was it to get him in or get him out of the race? I think people might have different views. But Matt, can you help us out here? As I understand it, the president's authority over classified materials is from Article 2, his power as commander in chief. If he says these boxes are fine to go to Mar-a-Lago while he is still the president, isn't that an executive order, and doesn't that govern those documents?
Yeah, the classified information is obviously ultimately for the president. If you think about how and why we have, you know, even an intelligence apparatus, so the president of the United States as a unitary executive can make the best decisions possible. And so the president while in office, is the final arbiter and decider of what is and what isn't classified. You know, it's going to be, you know, if they're really ultimately going to pursue a criminal case in this recent raid, then they're going to have to look at what happened on January 20th while he, you know, before Joe Biden was sworn in, as these boxes were being packed and moved, you know, was the information contained in it declassified or not?
Mm-hmm. Matt.
So, Dan, what do you think about that? Is the president the ultimate authority to declassify and or hold classified documents? And if so, that really means that this is strictly a process oriented crime that's being looked at here and used so ham-fistedly by the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Yeah, I guess there's two parts there, right? So the first one is does the president have plenary, like absolute authority when it comes to intelligence? The answer to that's yes. Nobody disputes that. It's absolutely necessary to have, like, when you have a commander in chief structured constitution. The second element of that, I would say we don't have enough information. Your second question, I would say we don't have enough information to answer, just to be honest, because this is the problem with FBI tactics, right? Is that the FBI's tactics were built around cracking the mob, right? So we gave them a lot of ability to be able to do things like go in for a pretext process violation, and then while they're in there, snoop around and get a lot of other information that's not necessarily relevant, but could be relevant, but could point you in the direction of something else, right? It could be like a fishing expedition. So the reality is we have no idea whether, let me put it this way. It would be insane, and absolutely insane, for the DOJ to try to argue that because while the boxes were moving, that's when Biden was sworn in. And then when Biden was sworn in, the composition of those boxes, because they were still, some of them were classified, remained classified, or automatically became reclassified because Biden was president, and that is the underlying justification for sending, for the first time in history, sending the FBI into the private space, the private domain, the private home of a former president of this country. If that's all that they have, then they just made Donald Trump president in 2024. Right, like he's gonna jump ahead of DeSantis and 2020, and it's over for him. Right, they would have played into the narrative that Donald Trump has been prepping the public for all this time. Like, they may very well be that stupid.
Yeah,
but yeah. Because I just think we don't have enough evidence yet to know if they're that stupid or not. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we certainly expect it as a potential part of the reality here, just based on the way that we've seen all this stuff go down all this time. I mean, it's just so patently disingenuous to have them going after Trump over documents. You know, I mean, maybe, like you said, we don't really know enough to really say what the deal is with the, you know, quote unquote documents. But when you look at the Hillary situation, the Hunter situation, my goodness, how many actual crimes might need to be looked at with regards to Hunter? How many actual security breaches might need to be looked at with regards to Hillary? How many actual financial and business crimes might be related between Hunter, Joe, and foreign entities? We didn't see the FBI going and raiding any of their homes. So it's all of a sudden it's just Clinton. Trump.
That's what I'm saying. Like Clinton Foundation, you can go back to like the Bushes, the Cheneys, the Halliburton, all of the no bid contracts back in the day, the insider trading with Pelosi, right? Like the problem when you include process crimes is with the FBI's ability, with the FBI's scope of tools that were given to them to be able to crack gangs, right? Like MS-13 gangs, like mafia gangs. These are the tools that we gave to them. The problem is if you use those standards against political actors and then go through and then get all of their phone records and then get all of their leasing records, and every time they tried to buy a house, did they overstate their income by $20,000, right? That was the investigation they were doing into Bernie Sanders' wife. with regards to overstated income with a loan from a university that she was working at and served on the board of directors, right? If that's the standard by which the FBI can open up an investigation into a presidential candidate or their spouse, we were in bad shape. And when we've got to have a public, we just need to start saying this stuff out loud. And people aren't okay with it. And so we have to have a conversation about what the proper scope of the FBI is and should be with regards to presidential candidates, right? Maybe the proper situation to do with Hillary was for it not to be a criminal matter and should have been a civil matter that's exposed publicly and transparent. But that the clear delineation was that because she at one point had some access to she was a constitutional officer that had top secret security clearance, right? Maybe that's not the proper purview for the FBI to be solely basing an investigation on. Right, the Epstein stuff, I'll obviously explore that to the nth end. But the problem with setting the bar for Hillary is now the bar gets exercised again with Trump, and then they use the tactics that were in the tool chest that they didn't use versus Hillary versus Trump, in the same way that they used those tactics in the tool chest versus Flynn, and versus Flynn they crossed a lot more lines, and then Roger Stone. And then when you look at the way that, for example, Durham treats the Klein Smith and Sussman and these other individuals, there is a disparate treatment based off of political ideology, and Trump's team has absolutely been treated differently. And that's a dangerous trend because it incentivizes, right? It stirs up in the Trump allies, right? This natural human tendency for revenge, right? For reciprocity. It's like, okay, fine. When we take over, we're going to arrest you for this, right? But that's how, this is where like the background comes from, like my parents leaving a dictatorship, right? Like that's how you devolve into dictatorships. Because one side starts to abuse some of the governmental powers against the other. And then the other side, when they take over, those governmental powers escalates, right? Like retribution plus slight escalation. And you get in a tit for tat that goes in a dangerous direction. That's why the utmost attention needs to be brought. I mean, the utmost transparency needs to be on this. And if there's not a smoking gun for a crime involving a person, then really they should begin impeachment proceedings against Ray.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, like you said, this is just going to throw fuel on the Trump campaign fire if it turns out that there's nothing here. If this is just more abuse of process crime, I mean, the public should be sick of process crime litigation abuse by large federal agencies at this point. We've seen enough of it. You know, this whole like cheerleading for revenge litigation and high powered, high tax intensive, high time intensive, multi-bazillion dollar things like Russiagate, Mueller investigation, all this stuff. I mean, it should be obvious to everybody now that this is not it is a partisan thing, but it's not. It's like federal law enforcement being used to as revenge litigation, you know. And like you said, this is the devolution into dictatorship tactics. And it's not, you know, regardless of how mad people are about Trump, how much they like to see Trump in having problems and stuff like that, this is all going to happen to both sides. Like once this becomes normalized, you can bet it will start flipping the other way eventually, right?
That's again. This is the libertarian roots, right? It's like that. If you look at the executive branch, right, as the if you want it to be this omnipotent Superman-like machine, right, like a beast that can kill anything and wield infinite power, because your team controls it, right? Well, what happens if another team controls it? That's the problem, right? So you want to imagine this is the beauty of the system that our framers designed, right? You don't want to imagine that you don't want to think about what tools you want the executive power to have because your team will always have it. You want to restrain it so it doesn't abuse those powers. Like if you're on the I used to advocate this during the Bush years to Republicans. And I said, you want to have this domestic surveillance powers that you would trust in Hillary Clinton's hands, right? Because it was the Bush team that started this with the domestic surveillance that's now being abused by that was abused by the Obama team against the Trump team. And full transparency is necessary on this, a full accounting of the wrongdoing that spans presidencies going back at least through George W. There has to be an entirely different, there has to be a full accounting. The problem about the problem about the backward facing stuff is, generally speaking, I oppose the government spending their present energy, right? It's why I'm not a big fan of either J6 or Stop the Steal, so to speak, right? It's because if your attention is focused on the past, you're not focusing on the solutions in the future, right? Like, election integrity is a thing, right? It's atrocious that people don't believe that their votes are counted. Right, and that the accurate that the vote at the end of the day is an accurate reflection of what the vote really is. So we can have a discussion about that, but we should be focused into the future, though, not specifically focused on the past.
There you go. That's great advice. Thank you, Dan, so much. Everybody, Dan Martinez for Congress.com. Get on over there and support him. I'll look forward to having Dan back on the show again. Thank you for joining me for the second time here on the Brian McLean Show, Dan. That's it, everybody. We're out of here. Stay tuned for more Today's News Talk, and I'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.